Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Welcome into the New Orleans Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad.
He will punch it!
The New Orleans Pelicans podcast starts right now.
Welcome to the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I am Joe Cardosi, joined by Mr. Jim Eichenhofer, the feisty Jim Eichenhofer today because, Jim, I'm looking at you today. You keep flexing your pecs at me. You kicked open the door like John Wick. I have a feeling this is not the day to come at you sideways.
That's exactly right, Joe. And I think I mentioned this on Wednesday that I didn't really like the fact that the Pelicans played Tuesday, had a bad loss, and then didn't get to play again until Friday. But you know what? I've changed my tune because I actually think that having a couple days away from everything has actually kind of recharged me a little bit. And you know what was also helpful along that same front is seemingly every team that was ahead of the Pelicans lost either Wednesday or Thursday night, with Dallas, I think, being the only exception. They were able to outlast San Antonio in overtime Wednesday, but pretty much everyone else lost. So now you're in a position where things, at least standings-wise, things look a lot better than they did a couple days ago. Now, we all understand that none of that matters unless the Pelicans win. And I feel like I have to put an explainer line on some of my tweets when I talk about, you know, who the Pelicans have coming up next in their next few games, who these other teams have coming up, because I feel like there needs to be a disclaimer at the bottom that to say to people, like, the Pelicans must win games for this to matter. Because people constantly come at me and say, well, you know, this team's terrible. This season's over. Like, oh, they need to win. I'm like, yeah, I know they need to win. They're in 12th place. If they don't win, they're not going to be in the play-in tournament.
I don't think they're in the locker room going, guys, let's just not try this one. Let's just sit this one out and, things will happen. It's fine. I mean, look, the Pelicans, they know where they're at. They're in 12th place as it stands right now. They are facing now a couple of road games, which in theory should be gimmies, but Houston has been winning. They beat the Celtics. They beat the Lakers. So we've talked about the roller coaster, Jim. I think we were down, and then a couple days of stewing in it because no games have happened since we had the last podcast. But sometimes you just got to stew in it a little bit, and you kind of see what settles. And, you know, I'm with you. I'm not maybe as pumped up as you, but I just don't have the self-confidence you do. And I'm ready to roll into this stretch of games with a fresh set of eyes.
Yes, and I will quickly say, to make another disclaimer, I reserve the right to change my mind on this depending on how Friday and Sunday goes. But I definitely feel just more optimistic as far as, you know, if the Pelicans can win these games. I mean, even if they just win Friday, I think things will look a lot better. So if you are one of the people who have been tweeting at me that the season's over and that things are terrible and hopeless, this is probably not going to be the show for you because that's not the perspective I'm taking. Again, I want to give them another chance to show what they can do this weekend.
Please make Jim correct.
They're playing against a team that obviously is near the bottom of the standings in the NBA. However, as you just mentioned, they've beaten two really good teams. So I don't know, maybe it's beneficial to the combination of they haven't won a lot of games this year, but your antenna is up a little bit because you saw that they just beat the Lakers and they beat Boston.
Hopefully they expended their emotional energy. I mean, we could arguably say it happened to the Pelicans after that big Portland win. It just came out flat against the Lakers. You never know. I'll take any little advantage I can.
And it really has been, as I think you alluded to, it's been every other game lately. After the Portland game on Sunday, I was riding high and feeling great. And then when the Lakers game tipped off, I was like, you know, they're going to build on that Portland game. And obviously that didn't happen. So we've been going back and forth lately between, okay, they're in good shape, they just beat the Mavericks, and, oh boy, they lost to the Thunder, and then the next night they came back and pounded Portland, and then had the game against the Lakers. I don't want to mention again. But this weekend, I mean, and then going forward over the next week, this is the opportunity. And there's a lot of people on the positive side, as a few people tweeted at me over the last couple of days. This is it. Like, this is the chance right here, the stretch that coming up. Not only do the Pelicans play teams that are at the bottom of the standings, they have to take advantage of it.
Yes.
We know that. But a bunch of other teams are playing against, have very difficult schedules, a lot of road games. We'll get into that later in the show after we talk to Will Guillory. But this is it. I mean, after this stretch of four games, you only have a couple weeks left in the season, only nine games left. And so, I mean, the time is definitely now to make progress. And I, like I said, if this weekend doesn't go well, I will definitely change my tune.
Yeah.
But if it does,
we reserve the right to be manic here.
Right. But if it does go well, and what we hope it ends up being, I think on Monday I will be able to come back here and say, and people will be able to say, you know what, Jim, we don't agree with you totally because you're a little out of control.
But you're so wise.
But you look, you at least sound a little better now.
Yeah.
On Monday after the weekend went the way it did. So
yeah.
I'm fascinated to see what happens in Houston, and I'm also curious about the rest of the West. And we were sitting here on Friday morning, and then Monday morning, our mood will be drastically.
We'll see.
Who knows?
Yeah,
right. It's going to depend. It's going to be
F around and find out Friday here on the Pelicans podcast, because you don't want to come at Jimothy sideways, and we want to go give Houston a black eye. I'm with you, man. You know, I was so bummed out. And that sort of was, I thought the Knicks game was rock bottom. And then I was like, oh, maybe the Lakers game is the rock bottom. And I had to sit in it for a while. But then today I just rose up like the Undertaker, put some eye black under my eyes like Rambo, and began my day. So that's why I look like this. But man, you know, we got to go get these games, and I think we can. Hey, big thanks to Will Guillory, who is our guest, as Jim mentioned. He is going to be our podcast guest for today from The Athletic. And a big happy birthday to Dyson Daniels turning 20 years old today. Ah, Jim, do you remember what it was like to be 20 years old? Do you remember your 20th birthday at all?
I don't remember my 20th birthday
at all. Me neither.
And I don't remember that much of my 21st birthday either, which I guess is
and
a good
thing.
And I
can't even blame booze. I don't think I was doing anything interesting at that point.
Yeah, I was
point.
Just sitting in a corner, like moping, wishing I had friends.
Yeah.
That's what I remember from
sitting on a roof. Yeah, I mean, Dyson Daniels, that's the thing is, you know, right now he's that age where he's still, like, every year is valuable. He probably remembers every year of his life up to, like, maybe he was 4 years old. But man, when you get old, there's just so many to keep track of. You just lose inventory. I know I was 26 at one point. I've seen pictures of it. Don't remember. So Dyson, take advantage of this time. Enjoy it. Smell the roses because, you know, I'm 40, and this is the age where my joints turned into wet bread. And I'm sitting here having back spasms as we record this podcast. And I'm not going to lie, I had two drinks yesterday to kind of enjoy some time with my wife. We had a babysitter. And this morning, I woke up so hungover, I was afraid I quantum leaped into a corpse.
Oh, boy. Two? So,
yeah.
Two?
Yep. That's all it takes, man. I used to be a party animal.
Yeah, man.
I used to be 20. But now look at me. I'm twice that.
It only takes one for me to feel that way. So, you know.
But also you drink a milk jug full of vodka because, you know, you're a tank.
That's my one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You make it count. You got to do what you got to do. So happy birthday to Dyson Daniels. Enjoy it, man. It goes quick. Hey, let's get to Will Guillory. He is standing by on his way to Houston soon, as he is going to spend 4 days over there as the Pelicans face a back-to-back stretch with the Rockets. So let's get to The Athletic's Will Guillory before he is wheels up on the road.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Pacaso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Joining us on the Pelicans podcast, so happy to have him today, The Athletic's Will Guillory. You can follow him on Twitter at Will Guillory. Will, man, you're ready to hit the road. You're about to be a road warrior. And how you feeling, man, as you get ready to hop on the open road and watch the Pelicans face the Rockets twice?
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to these games this weekend. It's a huge stretch for the Pelicans, but it's also NCAA tournament time, so I'm extremely agitated by my North Carolina Tar Heels. The same way Jimmy, I'm sure, is agitated just with his Syracuse Orangemen. So, yeah, it's exciting times on the NBA front, but very sour times on the college basketball front.
Well, Will, you know, we know that the baseball series style thing that the NBA put in the schedule a few years ago is pretty common at this point. It's not totally unusual, but I do think it's unusual when the schedule came out that they were doing it in Houston. It seems like we expect it to happen in Utah. It happened in December this year. Maybe Portland, I think a couple of years ago they played back-to-back games there. But I guess I wanted to ask you, you know, with all of this time that you have in Houston, where would you rank Houston among your favorite NBA cities to travel? Do you have a kind of a chart on that or a pecking order you can give us?
Are you like Zion with Dallas, but with Houston?
No, I don't love Zion. I don't love Dallas as much as Zion. I don't know what Zion got going on in Dallas. I don't have that going on in Dallas. And I'm going to tell you right now, I certainly have a baseball series in Houston much higher than the baseball series in Utah, the one we experienced earlier this year.
A little chilly there.
Where it snowed for all 5 days we were there. So that wasn't an enjoyable experience. Let's just say there's a few more things to do in Houston that are more enjoyable than my experience in Utah. So, yeah, I definitely enjoy Houston. I would say, and this may be shocking to y'all, but I think my favorite road city is another one that we're going to in a few weeks is Portland, man. I love Portland. Yeah. Despite all the rain, part of it is that I get to go to the Nike store and spend all my money up and give all my money to Phil Knight.
That helps.
I enjoy that experience as well. One of my favorite road restaurants is in Portland, Piazza Italia. If you know, you know. Shout out to everybody that's lived that Piazza Italia life. So, yeah, I love me some Portland. And, of course, the most common one, the L.A. is always cool. Miami is Miami. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely not mad at a baseball series in Houston. That's for damn sure.
There you go, Will. You know, in the dozen-plus games that I've been to watching the Pelicans in Houston, it seems to me that it's probably the road city where you see the most Pelicans fans in the stands, the most jerseys, the most support, that kind of, which I guess isn't surprising because it's, you know, the closest city.
Yeah, a lot of New Orleanians ended up in Houston, too.
Right.
Yeah, sure. A lot of Katrina transplants, for sure.
So I guess I was wondering, I mean, is Houston the city where you have the most Guillory support, the most people asking for photos, the most people checking, you know, getting you to sign stuff? Where does Houston rank on that list?
Yeah, the Guillory heads are out in Houston, probably.
Yeah, I would say every other NBA city is tied for zero Guillory picture request or autograph request. So it's equal everywhere I go. I'm anonymous. So I tell you, I do go to a lot of cities, and they say, "Hey, where's Jim Eichenhofer, man? What's going on? Why haven't I seen Jimmy roaming the sidelines?" And I say, "Listen, man, I hear this everywhere I go. I'll forward the request to the Pelicans, but yeah, as much as I hear about Zion Williamson, I would say slightly under that is the amount of times people asking me, where's Jim Eichenhofer?"
Just slightly. I think the real story is that these road cities cannot handle both of us there at the same time. Someone had to take a step back. So.
Yeah, you don't want to break Houston.
Yeah.
Right. You know, beyond, I guess, our travel guide that we're giving today, one of the other things I wanted to ask you kind of outside the Pelicans specifically. So the Pelicans have an ugly game Tuesday, obviously, against the Lakers. They get destroyed. It's not pretty. The Lakers the next night go to Houston and sit Anthony Davis, lose the game. All of a sudden, after the misery that we went through on Tuesday night, the Pelicans are half game behind the Lakers. They actually could be ahead of them after tonight if the Lakers lose and the Pelicans win. That's a different story. But I guess what I wanted to ask you, I know we've had discussions about this here and there throughout the season. I was wondering what your thoughts are on just the this specific case of the Lakers resting a player in a position where they're not, you know, they're not locked into a playoff spot by any means. They're not even locked into a play-in tournament. I mean, are we going to get to the point where it's the 82nd game of the season and there's two teams that are tied for the last play-in berth, and they both say, well, you know, it's a back-to-back. We got to sit our guys. I mean, what was your impression of just that, the Lakers doing that? And I mean, obviously, it's not just the Lakers, but just in general, yeah, the trend that's happening right now.
Yeah, I feel like throughout the NBA, more and more teams are looking at the second games of these back-to-backs and just saying, you know, it's just not worth it to play some of these guys, especially guys like AD who are coming off of injuries. And the Lakers, you know, admitted themselves that AD wasn't experiencing any pain. He wanted to play, and the organization was like, nah, we're holding you out. And, I would feel like a little bit of a hypocrite if I didn't say I thought, you know, that maybe it was the right move, because I've talked in the past about how they need to do a better job of kind of making sure AD can, you know, have some type of longevity there, because he's on the injury report so much. And, yeah, you know, of course, he's dealt with his injuries this year. So I think, you know, that I think me personally, I'm a big fan of the NBA finding a way to get rid of back-to-backs. I think you can, you know, eradicate this conversation in a lot of ways. And like, that's a lot easier said than done, you know, when it comes to like arena schedules and all that type of thing and travel. I know, talking to some of the people who make their schedule, I think they say, hey, it sounds easy to fix all of these problems, but we'd like you to get into the room and put these schedules together.
Sure.
So, yeah, I can understand the NBA on that front, but I just think, you know, playing these back-to-backs is just something we're going to see moving forward. The teams are going to be like, hey, we're sitting guys for back-to-backs, especially when it's a travel back-to-back, because it's just not worth it to put guys through that type of, you know, physical strain. And I think the one thing we probably learned from this experience is that, you know, something Willie Green has talked about a lot, that Pelicans fans get frustrated, is you can't get too high or too low during the stretch. Mm-hmm. As, you know, horrid as that lit loss was against the Lakers, I wrote it was rock bottom for this team. Like you said, a couple of days later, they could be right above the Lakers in the standings.
Yeah,
and that's just how close, you know, things are right now with all of these teams. That all it takes is a couple losses, a couple wins, and everything flips upside down. So, the big thing for this team is they got to move forward. They got to keep their head down and keep playing, you know, just figure out a way to pick things up. Because when you look at this next stretch of games they have, Houston twice, San Antonio and Charlotte, I feel like that has to be four straight wins for this team. It just has to. There's no excuses. Those are the three worst teams in the league, potentially. Two of those games are at home. You know, as you mentioned before, Houston is a kind of a pseudo home game for Pelicans in some ways. You got to come out and executing these games and bank those wins, because you don't know what it's going to look like for the rest of the schedule, and every single win matters. So, yeah, I think the pressure is extremely high for the Pelicans for these next four games to handle their business and stack some wins up so they can give themselves a little bit of cushion.
You know, before we dig more specifically into the Pelicans, a couple quick things I wanted to mention. You talked about, you know, eliminating the back-to-backs. I think really the only way to do that is to get the NBA schedule down to like 70, 72 games. I think, based on my understanding of the math, that at that point it would be doable. But, I mean, obviously they're trying to
unless
implement,
you extend the season
right
somehow.
You add a couple weeks on, which I don't think people really want to do with the offseason being short enough as it is for the teams that go deep in the playoffs. Another quick thing, too, on the there was breaking news kind of that Shams, I think your guy, reported the other day about how in the new CBA that they're going to have minimum games to be eligible for awards. What's your initial kind of impression of that as far as the significance of that or how important that could be?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why the players are willing to give that up because, you know, they want to make it seem like they're, you know, as focused on the games played issue. And let's be real. I mean, as much as I'm talking about back-to-back, there's no question that it's an issue for the NBA. It's a major issue when every single night you turn on the TV and you got to figure out who's not playing tonight in the NBA. I mean, that's the only league where this issue exists as often as it does, and it's every single night. It's not an exaggeration. Every single night you turn on an NBA game, somebody's missing. Somebody's star players over there in street clothes. They've got to find a way to solve that problem. But I think, you know, I didn't really necessarily think it was that necessary of a change. To be honest with you, as a voter, I take games played into account regardless. You know, so I don't think just putting a specific number on there is going to change the way I kind of go through my process. If anything, like last year, I consider Jokic an MVP over Embiid partially because of games played. And I know a lot of voters who felt the same way. So I think you know, there are a lot of things that come into the process of when you're voting for some of these players, and everybody, you know, has different criteria. But I think putting a specific number on there isn't going to necessarily make, like, LeBron James feel like he's got to play more games now. Guys are going to take care of their body regardless. And, you know, we're in a league where nothing matters as much as the playoffs, right? It's all about getting that ring. It's all about having postseason success. So teams are going to put themselves in position to do just that. And if that means that they miss a random game in January, then it is what it is, because we put that much onus on the postseason in this league. So I think that's just something that you can't really put that genie back in the bottle with the NBA and the, you know, hashtag rings culture and all of that going on. So I just think it's a matter of kind of alleviating the problem as much as possible, instead of kind of prioritizing these games more, because I don't think there's a way to get NBA teams to prioritize them more just because the nature of the schedule and how much we put on the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, the Pelicans, look, we need to get healthy. We want to see our guys playing more. I think everybody wants to see their guys playing more. We're not the only ones dealing with injuries. Now, look, the Pelicans, you said it before, we have to win these next games. And, you know, we look at the stretch on paper, and it looks good. It looks like a juicy matchup where we could really make some hay and make up some ground in the standings. But, you know, the Pelicans have learned there are no givens. There are no wins on paper. According to ESPN analytics, we were supposed to have the easiest schedule going forward. That kind of went to pot. And now you look at Houston, who are, you know, people say they're bottom feeders, et cetera, but they're coming off back-to-back wins. You know, they beat the Celtics, who are no slouches. They beat the Lakers without Anthony Davis, but still, they beat the Lakers. So they may be feeling themselves a bit. They're on their home court. Why are the Houston Rockets suddenly winning? I mean, what's the deal, Will? I got to know, how worried should I be here?
Yeah, I think you're starting to see a little bit of the fruits of them, you know, playing those young guys as much as they have. And, of course, when you play as many young players as the Rockets have all season, of course you're going to go through struggles as those guys kind of figure it out. But I think you've seen guys like Jalen Green, you know, really take a step forward. I think in particular Jabari Smith, the guy who they took with the number three pick this past summer, I think he's really started to figure himself out. And I think you saw last time, you know, the Rockets were in New Orleans, he kind of looked lost out there. Yeah. He really didn't know what was going on. He couldn't figure out his role next to those two ball-dominant guards and KPJ and Jalen Green. And I think now he's starting to feel more comfortable. They're starting to play him at the five more often, taking advantage of his three-point shooting. So, yeah, I just think you see these young guys starting to feel a little bit more comfortable. You see some of those vets that they're playing in their lineup kind of saying, hey, I got to earn my spot in this league and not get replaced by a second-round pick this time next year. So I think you see some of these bad teams who, and let's be real, all these teams at the bottom of the NBA, the Rockets, the Spurs, they're already in Wembanyama, you know, territory. So it's not like they're fighting for every single loss.
They got rid of Eric Gordon. It was addition by subtraction. Oh, so boy. That probably helped them a little bit. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, listen, man, less sour faces is always good for the win column. That's for sure. And Eric Gordon led the league in sour faces when he was in Houston. So, yeah, I think everybody's happy about him not being around anymore, except the Pels fans here in Houston who probably would have booed him if he was in the lineup tonight.
I mean, it must have been fun for them.
But, yeah, I think, you know, the Houston team can absolutely be dangerous. You're definitely right that they could be, you know, athletic. They can push it in transition. They can get high from the three-point line. So the Pels have to be on point. And I think the big thing for them is having Brandon Ingram healthy, you know, for these next two games and just kind of getting him back on track. So it's not like this is going to be a complete walkover. You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. They got to come out and execute. But again, these are games that you have to bank when you're in a position where you need every single win to get into the play-in.
You know, Will, we like to celebrate the petty around here as well as in New Orleans. And I think your suggestion of, I mean, obviously it's not possible now because Eric Gordon was traded to the Clippers, but your suggestion of booing a player in his arena as a visiting fan, I absolutely love that idea, Will. But anyways, you know, you talk about the importance of these four games coming up and obviously this weekend with the two against Houston. I mean, on your list of things that the Pelicans need to improve, things that they need to do better to get some of these wins coming up. And, you know, I think we can all agree that especially these next four games are crucial to be able to pick up as many wins as you can. What would be at the top of your list of things that you need to see them do to be able to get to a point where they can string together some wins, which I think is something that they've really not been able to do, you know, since probably December.
Yeah, I've got two extremely simple things at the top of my list. I know Jim has prioritized these two things throughout his basketball playing career.
Ah, yes, yes.
I would say one, play hard. I think, you know, just coming out and playing hard every single night, it kind of helps in winning. And unfortunately, with this Pelicans team, it's kind of been up in the air whether they're going to come out and decide to play hard every single game, which has been shocking considering where they are in the standings and, you know, how much is at stake every single time they take the court, you know, at this time of the season. So they've got to come out with consistent effort, consistent focus every single night. It can't be a one-night thing. It can't be just in home games. It can't be just when Trey Murphy scores 40 points. They've got to play hard every single game, every single possession from here on out. And the other one is score points. They've got to be able to put the ball in the basket. I mean, in today's NBA, it's really difficult to win when you don't score. And this team has been one of the worst offenses in the NBA since January 1st. And, you know, I saw something I wrote about this morning is just how much they've struggled on the offensive end. The three-point shooting has cratered, you know, basically since Zion Williamson has been out of the lineup. And I think they just need to be more consistent on the offensive end. They got to move the ball. They can't depend so much on CJ and Brandon Ingram to create every single thing for them. They got to just be a little bit smarter with the way they play on offense and just, you know, knock down some shots. I think that's the big thing, just playing hard and putting the ball in the basket. If they're able to do those two things, we see, you know, the pieces that this team has and what they can do when they're playing well. But too often, the energy hasn't been there, and when the shots don't fall, you just see the confidence just leave them during the course of some of these games. You just can't afford to have that in these next four games.
You know, Will, on your two-item list of play hard and score points, I've actually always thought that you were more of the score points guy.
Yeah.
I was the play hard guy, and Will was the get buckets as UNO's all-time leading scorer at their rec center.
Whew.
So.
Hey, listen, you know, you got to know your role, Jim. And I'm not there to play hard. I'm not there to play defense. I'm not really there to pass the ball. What I'm there to do is put the ball in the basket and then go home. And
exactly.
That's what I'm there to do. And shout out to everybody at UNO that helped me do that and cover me up when I wasn't playing defense because it was often.
Yeah, I'm more of a flailing goon on the court. I'm just there to hard foul, sit back down. That's pretty much my game. Another part of Jim's game that I love, always heave. It's a mantra. It's a life philosophy.
Ooh, this might be
a
sore subject to bring up with Will Guillory, but go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, well, I mean, I just love the fact I love it in basketball as a philosophy. I love it in life as a philosophy. I've seen it. Jim will be at a bar and some 10 will be there and Jim's like, I'm going to go talk to her. I'm like, Jim, she's a movie star. Don't do it.
And I say, hashtag always heave.
Yep, always heave. And then next thing you know, he's leaving in the limousine, you know, and that's why Jim is a winner. You know, he always heaves.
Listen, man, shooters got to shoot. And I think during March Madness is the worst time to bring out my anti-heave propaganda, so I'm gonna go ahead and leave that in my pocket for this. I'm gonna wait till April to bring that one back out. But yeah, I think during this time of year, there's no doubt Jim is king. The always heave gang is rocking strong right now, especially, you know, after Furman yesterday pulling off that crazy win. So yeah, I'll go ahead and concede to Jim. He got that one, but just know that I'm gonna be ready for this fight this time next month.
And by the way, too, Najee Marshall had just one of the best ones I've ever seen the other day where he had no chance to make the shot. And there was like 0.3 seconds on the clock probably when he let it go. And he was 70 feet from the basket, something like that. So kudos to Najee, man. Yeah. That was impressive. That was one of the greatest achievements on a basketball court I've seen this season.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Knife, man. He's always a team guy first. You know that about him.
Well, shout out to you, man. UNO Rec Center leading scorer. I had no idea. I guess I got to go see the plaque and take some pictures. Will Guillory, thank you so much for talking us through this stretch here. And, man, good luck in Houston for 4 days. I hope you come back the same man and not, you know, with a mustache and a new identity. That's a long time to be out of town.
Yeah, my wallet would definitely be lighter when I come back home, but I'll be a happy man regardless of what happens with these next two games, especially with March Madness through the weekend. So, yeah, I'm going to enjoy the weekend regardless of what happens with the Pels. So, yeah, I can promise you that much.
Well, we appreciate you hopping on. Anti-Heave Alliance member Will Guillory. Thanks for joining the pod, man. Enjoy Houston.
Man, appreciate you guys.
Huge thanks to Will Guillory from The Athletic, Willery, as we call him here on the podcast. Great to have him back on. And it seems like he's going to have fun out there in Houston. I hope he enjoys himself. And, man, Jim, here we go. We are going to be on the road tonight. Gus Kattengill, myself, and you will be in studio possibly for
Can't
a bit.
Wait.
There is a rodeo event going on across the street or maybe in the building, so hopefully we don't have to fight our way through a bunch of cowboys to get in there. But it is going to be an interesting one. Graf will be on the call out there in Houston. And, you know, as you look at this game, and we've talked about it endlessly, it seems like, on this podcast, should be easy, may not be. I guess we're going to find out where the Pelicans really stand. But, you know, you look at where the Pelicans are, and it just seems like they, no matter who they're trotting out there, what we need is consistency, mm-hmm. no matter what the lineup is. And we need to find that. And what is our identity without Zion? We still seem to not know, really. Mm-hmm. And this seems like the stretch where you can really assert your identity and assert your dominance and figure out who you are coming into the home stretch.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big test to finally try to string together some wins. I feel like right before the All-Star break, they had a little bit of a stretch where they won maybe four in a row or four out of five. And that was really the last time we saw them kind of get on a roll. They had that weekend where they beat the Lakers and the Kings in back-to-back games. They beat OKC. And then right before the last game before the All-Star break that they lost, they had a decent stretch, but mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to have to get back to that to be able to be where they want to try to get in terms of the playoff race and the play-in tournament race. They go into this game Friday. I mean, I can't believe I waited until now to mention this. They're 12th right now, but if they just win tonight, regardless of the other games going on, they're going to be back in ninth or 10th place. So, I mean, they're in the top 10 if they win in the West tonight. If the Lakers lose to Dallas, they'll be in ninth. Right. So, and ahead of the Lakers. So, I mean, the importance of this game Friday and the weekend is kind of obvious. So, yeah. And one quick note kind of along the same lines, I was listening to one of Sports Illustrated's NBA podcasts, and Chris Mannix was talking at length about how he believes in the Lakers now, how the Lakers are on a roll, how he thinks that they could be dangerous. And then they recorded this podcast Wednesday morning after the Lakers beat the Pelicans before they played Houston.
Yeah.
And he ended it with half jokingly saying, "You know, by the way, if the Lakers lose to Houston tonight, forget everything I just said." So that kind of cracked me up because he said it in a way, I think, of like, you know, they're going to win the game, obviously. So, but I'll just throw this in there because, what if they lose the Rockets?
Yep.
Then everything I just said was moot. So it was kind of funny that they actually did lose that game.
I knew right away Anthony Davis was going to miss that game. When I saw him grab his hand, when they had him in the game late, he went up for some shot and someone, I guess, fouled him and he grabbed his hand. I was like, he's missing that.
And he was on the baseline for a good 30 seconds, maybe a minute or so.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is funny, you know, we talked about earlier how the waves of emotion and the ups and downs.
It's a roller coaster.
It's on the Pelicans to get this done, but like I said, just win and all of a sudden you're in the top 10. And I hope that the tweets that I get from people saying the season's over will stop at least while the Pelicans are in the top 10. Because if you're in the top 10, you make the play-in tournament and your season continues. So by that definition, the season cannot be over, at least in my mind.
Yes.
So that's what I hope to see. At least we're talking super short term, just Friday, get the win.
That's what you get for being famous on Twitter, man. You've got like a comma in your followers. I don't even know how many thousands and thousands of Jim Eichenhofer heads. You know, I've got a measly 200, so the only at replies I get are somebody being like, "Who are you?" But, you know, you get the doom bots coming after you constantly. So, I don't admire that part of your fame, but good luck with it. Because, look, hey, we are going to roll into Houston, and I believe that we should have no reason to be fearful. Let's hope that we are correct, and next podcast isn't Jim and I just hugging each other. And
that would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That might be how we have to just do a podcast, no matter win or loss.
Yeah. You know, Will mentioned this, too, when we were speaking with him about how this is just such a great time for basketball fans to be able to catch the NCAA tournament games on Saturday when the Pelicans aren't playing. Maybe you can watch some of that stuff. And then Sunday, early afternoon, late afternoon before the Pelicans play at 6:00. So this is an awesome time for basketball. And in the NBA, I mean, I think people's enthusiasm for this will improve if the Pelicans win Friday, for example. But there's so many good games that are important on the scoreboard in the West this weekend. Just Friday night, for example, I mentioned the Dallas Lakers game, which I think is the most important game that the Pelicans aren't playing in Friday night. There's also a Golden State game at Atlanta. Minnesota plays at Chicago tonight. Both of those teams, Golden State and Minnesota, have road games on Saturday as well. Utah's hosting Boston on Saturday. So Pelicans are tied with Utah right now. Utah has the tiebreaker. So that's super tight. So I'm just looking forward to being able to watch a lot of basketball this weekend. Check out the college games. The early afternoon Thursday slate was awesome. We had some amazing finishes. And so it's just this is such a great time for people that are really want to watch as much basketball as
possible. I'll just trust you on the college thing. I was at a bar yesterday and they had some college games still playing. And I was like, hey, what's going on? Why are so many people yelling at the TV? It's because I went to Nicholls State and I don't gamble. So I don't have any interest in college basketball, especially because March Madness is coming up. Like, I don't, there's nothing there for me. But people seemed enthused, and a guy with a neck tattoo complimented me on my tattoos, and I was like, you know what? I got some street cred now.
So, yeah, there you go.
I'm cool, even though I'm wearing a polo shirt.
Well, I will say this, Joe, that I can't say that I'm a huge college basketball fan in terms of the season, but I basically try to squeeze in all of my college basketball watching from mid-March until
the
end of March.
Seems like what most people do,
So, yeah, I don't necessarily have a great grasp on the teams or other than the first – couple players that might get drafted in June in the NBA.
Right, yeah.
Other than that, I really don't know a heck of a lot, but it is fun to watch people go crazy and try to figure out, like, why is this person screaming for Furman? Did they go to Furman? Or did they even know what Furman
is?
Oh,
that guy's got money riding on
it. That's
exactly. That's the kind of enthusiasm
that's where I was
that
going.
Is.
That's where I was going with that. So.
Absolutely. You know, that's the thing. Because I don't gamble, I just got to pick the teams I'm rooting for like a child would. Like, I don't know. I like their mascot. The colors are neat. Go Orange.
Great,
that's
great selection, Orange, there. No, I love rooting for the underdog. So, like, the last few years, I know a lot of people are, like, addicted to filling out 18 different brackets. I was talking to one of my neighbors yesterday, said he filled out 6 brackets.
Can you imagine, like, Fletcher Mackel's wall right now? I bet he just has it. It's just wallpapered with brackets
right now.
He just looks like a madman.
He tells people that they have to leave his office because he doesn't have room for them with all the brackets in the way.
It's bracketology time, man.
Yeah, but, I just enjoy rooting for the underdogs. I don't even need to fill out a bracket. It's way less stress that way, too. I don't like being in a position where I'm watching the Furman versus Virginia game yesterday and have to be like, oh, come on, Virginia.
Sweating it out.
Yeah, I don't want to. I hate rooting against teams that I want to see win just because I'm worried about my bracket being ruined. So let me just root for Colgate. Let me root for, you know, teams like that. They, by the way, they beat Syracuse this year. And they beat them 2 years in a row. So I don't know if that
makes
me.
Your new rival.
Right, exactly. I don't know if that makes me dislike them or not or what. But nonetheless, I root for every team from the Ivy League. I root for every team from upstate New York. That most of them don't last very long, but it's still fun to just kick back and enjoy it and say, you know, go fighting, you know, whatever New York Tech.
Yeah, the fighting possums. I don't know what you are, but go you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, man, it seems like a fun time. I think you handle it well. You just don't want to be that dude who's too sad at the bar cheering for a team that you know nobody cheers for, because then you just seem like a character out of a hard-boiled detective novel. It's just a shade too sad. So watch yourselves out there. Gamble responsibly. Hey, enjoy basketball, whether it be professional or college. This is the time. We are leading into the home stretch. Let's go, Jim, man. I am ready. I don't want all of our war paint and punching the air in here in the podcast studio to be for nothing.
Yes, here's to coming back here Monday morning in these exact same chairs with big smiles on our faces, encouragement, and way less negative tweets from people saying the season's over. Let's have a toast to that.
Yes. We want genuine smiles, not one through tears. Here's to hoping, Jim. We will talk to you once again on Monday, and we can't wait to hopefully recount victory. So until then, that is Jim Eichenhofer. Follow him at @Jim_Eichenhofer. I am Joe Cardosi. Don't follow me. We are the Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. And until Monday, go Hills!
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek. Join us 3 times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. We'll see you next time right here on the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, presented by SeatGeek.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.